Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
He's always there picking up the pieces. Thank God for the health that he's given me. Didn't have to have it. I remember one Sunday I woke up blind 10 years ago. Couldn't see across the room. But God. Thank God for my wife, who's been with me in our 20th year. And actually longer than that. Praise God for her. We put up with each other. We laugh because we can't remember what we're fighting about. I thank God for Pastor Marquise, who's an inspiration to me. Every time I see him, we tease each other. But brother, I want you to know I love you. I love you. And our own sister here, Sister Hannah, who keeps the rhythm. And we thank God for those that are not here yet. Somebody say yet. Yet means it's still in process. Hallelujah. God is still working things out. I started a church with my wife, my sons, and the twins. Y'all remember the twins. You remember the twins. Ron Williams' daughters. I started my church with them. And my wife gave me some inspiration, Pastor. We were driving up to Everett. She gave me some inspiration. She said, I'm tired of you preaching to me at home and bringing me up here to this building and preaching to me again the same message. So I prayed that prayer unto the Lord of the harvest, that he would send more laborers unto the harvest. Can we say amen? Amen. Thank God. This is the last Sunday. This is an honor to share this pulpit, Pastor. Appreciate you. Your sister, Annis Faye, missionary, we love you. Thank you for the emails, you know, and the text messages. I got everything. But, you know, sometimes you got to turn that phone off. All the bill collectors that call, talk to the hand. All the patients that call, talk to the answer service. We've had a good time in just being patient and waiting on God. Amen. Let's work this morning today with a message God gave me 4 years ago that I never got a chance to preach. Y'all gonna pray for me this morning? Because I believe this is the message. We got four scriptures we're gonna work out of. Philippians 2 and 5, Psalms 51 and 10, Colossians 3 and 10, and finally the theme text would be Matthew 9:15. Amen. It's not going to be a long sermon, but it's going to be to the point. At the end of the year, we look at the new year, and the world usually make a declaration or resolution about a newness about themselves. And, you know, I done made so many resolutions about, I don't even tell resolize no more, you know. I'm going to lose weight, Sister Alice Ray. I'm going to lose weight. I might as well be saying I'm going to lose weight, get all my hair back and my teeth and be light skinned. I ain't going to do none of that. But it sounds good, don't it? It just sounds good. This morning, we want to look at the new man in the new year. And when we look at the concept of the new man and the new year, there are some qualifications that we have to go through. First of all, Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you're going to be a new man or woman, you got to have the mind of Christ. You have to let this mind be in you. And how is that? You have to surrender to the word of God. Biggest challenge we have is surrendering because we're taught to be self-willed. As a little boy, we grew up, I can do that. I'm strong. Little boys want to challenge everything, and as we grow up to men, we still challenge things. But somewhere along the line, if you want Christ to operate in you, you got to surrender to his will. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. And then all of a sudden we look at Psalms where David himself had made a mistake. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we believe Jesus is coming back. Yes, we accept him as a savior. But some of us have not accepted him as Lord. So he says here, create in me a clean heart. You cannot have the mind of Christ if you got the heart of the devil. You can't hate and love at the same time. This scripture was, clean me up. Clean me up. Put in me, renew me with the right spirit. I don't want my spirit to operate no more. I want your spirit to operate in me. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. Sometimes we think what is right is what we think. But we are fooled by the devil. Just because it seemed right to burn your neighbor's house down because you're offended, we're foolish. Amen? We was talking on the way to church this morning, talked about suicide and Robin Williams and everybody's ally and him and all that. That was foolish. That was absolutely foolish. You know, if he did anything, he gave me inspiration to live a little longer. You know, there's too many folks want to kill you. Why would make it too many in one? Praise God this morning. Renew my spirit, Lord. Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get weak. Sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we just don't know our way. Lord, renew me. Somebody needs to be renewed. We look at this new year coming up. I don't want to do it the same way I did this year. How many want to repeat 2014? How many want to repeat 2009? I don't want to do none of it again. I want God to put a new me in this situation. Hallelujah. I want a new outlook at it. I want to see the clarity. Then the next scripture is Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Y'all get that? The new man. They took the word of God and made his mind like Christ. Got the knowledge in him now. We know better. Sister Hannah, we know better. Huh? And the image of it is us doing better. The Greek I studied said one time that said the righteousness of God is his image. Putting on the image of God. And can you imagine being fully clothed in righteousness? This is what we need this morning. The new man, in the image of him, created him. A lot of folks don't know why they're here. Talking to my little niece. She's my grandniece. I think she is my grandniece. No, she's my niece. I didn't know I had this many relatives until Christmas showed up in this hot house and all these folks are there. And this little young lady is one of the sweetest people in the world. She's professing Christ. She's going to church. She witnesses wherever she goes, and she keeps a beautiful outlook. But she's not being taught. And it's interesting, when people are not being taught, they listen to information. So she got her little cell phone down and start typing down what we were talking about and walk in the supernatural and trusting in God and all of these different things. We were just talking while everybody else is doing whatever they're doing. Wasn't nothing crazy going on. They're just laughing and eating and talking crazy to each other. Family stuff. And I noticed this child had just separated herself from everybody else and isolated me in a corner. And we talked all night long. When we really get this thing right, Jesus said you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so when we look at today's lesson, I really want to talk about Matthew 9:15, which says, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Now this is the scriptures. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put to fill up, take from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Then he makes it even clearer. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, as the bottles will break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine in new bottles, and both are preserved. We need to become new vessels. God is not going to put a fresh anointing in some woe-out vessels. God is looking for us to renew ourselves for this new year. We need a new vision. We need a renewing of our strength. We need a renewing of our spirit. God's getting ready to put an anointing in us, but he can't put it in something woe-out. Come on and tell God thank you. I had some tires on my car. You ever had a rash of flat tires? I had a rash of flat tires. And I just kept getting them all, going to get a used tire. Just going and getting a used tire. I'm thinking I'm saving money. Well, after 4 or 5 times, you're not saving money. You're buying somebody else's trash. How can you put your faith in something woe out? How can you expect God to put something new and working in you and you haven't renewed yourself? Come on and tell God thank you. How can you move doing the same old things and asking God to do something new in your life? Come on and tell God thank you this morning. This new year, I want to renew myself. I want God to put a greater anointing in me. I want him to move me from a this to that relationship with him. I want him to clear my mind and let me understand where he's taking me to. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. We need reality. God will make it clear where you're supposed to be doing. God will make it sure that the ground you're standing on, he's placed you there. But you got to renew yourself. I look at folks. It's in the Psychology 101, they say the sign of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and getting the same results. We do that. And we ask, I don't know why that won't work. I don't know why that won't work. This is our flesh refusing, saying, Lord, your will be done. When I surrendered myself to God, when I got through whining and crying about my situation, when I got through talking about what I was going to do and got up and started doing it, when I stopped talking about being a skydiver, walking around here with a parachute on the ground and won't get in the plane and jump. When I got tired of sick and tired of being sick and tired, I called out to God to renew me. Put your word back in me. Open my mind and my eyes up in the name of Jesus. Give me another opportunity. Sometimes we forget that the opportunity is always there. People think Peter just dropped in the water. No, he hollered, save me. He realized that the opportunity was always there. Jesus is always there. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, who came from a manger as we celebrated this week. Jesus, who was beaten all night long. Jesus, who was taken to the cross. Jesus, who surrendered his life. Jesus, who was buried in a borrowed grave. And I'm reminded that he rose on the third day. I wasn't there when he ascended into heaven before the 500. Oh, but I was there when he ascended in me. I was there when he refilled me. I was there when he replenished my soul. I was there when he made it clear to me that he is the way. He is the light. Sometimes you can walk and think you all by yourself. But when you stop and call on Jesus, sometimes you think ain't nobody going through it but you. But when you call on Jesus, and you say, well, look at this, and it shows you the wounds in his hands. And you look at this, and it shows you the wounds on his side. Look at this, and it shows you the stripes on his back. What are you going through? I often reminded when I was in dialysis, 6 years, 4 days a week, 6 hours a day, how sometimes when the early stages of it, I was telling God, why me? Why me? I ain't such a bad fella. Why me? You know? And when I got through my pity party, he said, why not you? And I said, okay. And then I began to witness to the people in the dialysis center. And how, you know how you witness to somebody one day and they really accept what you're saying, and then they're dead the next day? That's good field to witness in. That's right. Because you done something for them. I was on the dialysis chair, and I would be wondering, Lord, when are you going to deliver me? That was, man, you know what? You know what? You get your blood taken out of you 400 or 500 times in a six-hour period and put back in, and you feel like wet a noodle when you get out, and all you can do is lay down and rest and get your body together to go do it again. That's a challenge. But can you do that and come out of it and still praise God? I thank God for the praise. Because every time I got through, I looked and I said, look what God has done. Do you know the folks that didn't have this back in the 20s and 30s? Them people were sick a long time. Finally, I've told this before, when my body would refuse to take any more dialysis, the doctor says to me, he says, Doc, you ain't gonna make it. About 4 or 5 days, if you don't get dialysis, you're going to be gone. And the Lord blessed me that Sunday to preach a message saying that my blessing is tied up in the thicket. And that Wednesday, I got a phone call. Somebody say, but God. You got 6 days, but God. They said, we got a kidney for you, Mr. Woodley. You know how you don't believe the message. But all of a sudden, on that Monday, the 26th of July, 2010, 4 o'clock in the morning, my family all showed up. And my donor's family and his mother, who was getting a kidney, showed up. And God brought these two families, gigantic families, together in Swedish Hospital. And the next thing I knew, I was in the hospital bed. And my wife came in and said, the doctor said it was a perfect kidney. But God put a new vision in you. All of a sudden, from a chair that I'm dying in to another opportunity to praise God. Therefore, you can't fool me about what God can and can't do. Nothing discourages me about Jesus. I walked from a nothing, from a death situation to a life situation. He'll come in time, y'all. He will come in time, no matter what you are facing. And I'm sorry, if you don't think you're going through nothing, you need to go examine your attic or your basement. Something going on. Something's going on in your life. But once you trust in Jesus, give him all your problems and he'll give you his joy. He's a problem fixer. He's a mind regulator. He fixes you. He heals you. He delivers you. Oh, God, this message is about you being the vessel. Somewhere along the line, we got to be the vessel ready to receive a new and fresh anointing. I know you're saved. Ain't no doubt about it. I know you're saved. But now we got to move to the next level. You know when you're really saved? When you start winning souls. Because if it's really good, you're going to tell somebody about it. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. This is your year. 2015 going to be off the chain. It really is. It really is. And you know what? No matter what the devil done took, God got something greater for you. Does that make sense? I got saved, and I had a girlfriend that was really one of my best friends. And I was saved, and I began to just be with the Lord. I moved to my mom's house, so I wasn't looking for nobody. The old missionary told me, he said, whatever you give up for God, he'll give you something better. And that weekend, I met my wife again after 30 years. When you give something up for God, that's when he gets a chance to move. Amen? When I hate to say it as weak as this, but when I gave up buying old tires, General Tires or someplace, gave me the greatest deal in the world I could pay cash for. Ain't had a flat since. When you give up your old worn out tires, God will keep you rolling. When you give up waiting on money and start waiting on God to move, come on. When you start waiting on God to move, that's when it's going to happen for you. When you stop walking and thinking about the natural side of your situation and step off into the supernatural, that's when God can move. Everything we talk about when it comes to Jesus is in the supernatural. Had nothing natural to do but surrender to him today. Every time I think about Jesus and how good he's been to me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Ah, thank God for saving me. Oh, I was lost one day. Didn't have an opportunity to even figure out my own mind. Had been out there so long that I thought God had given up on me, so I gave up on him. But one day I said, Lord, if you reconnect me to your spirit, I just don't want to be saved. I want to be used. I just don't want to be saved. I want to be significant. You want a purposeless life? Feel insignificant. Don't nobody notice you when you're in the room? Huh? Yeah. Anybody got a green car? You drive a green car and don't nobody notice you? But yours shine, Doc. Yours always. This is what we have. We need to be noticed, the Christ in us. Just like that star. That star was noticeable. There's 20 zillion trillion stars in the sky. Matter of fact, he said you can't even number them. Can't even number them. But this one star that led them to Jesus. We need to be that star. Shining so bright that people will follow you from afar. This is my word today in closing. I believe that God has a purpose for this church. I believe that God has a fresh anointing for this church. And because we are a corporate body, now get this, individually, we have to submit to the corporate vision. And when we submit to the corporate vision, we will be able to receive the corporate blessing. Does that make sense? I believe the anointing is here. We have to surrender to it. We have to surrender to it outside these walls. Amen. I believe God's going to free folks up to do more witnessing. I believe God's going to free folks up and give them more guts to step out there. You know, you got to have some guts to go certain places. Amen. You know, some people don't want to, you know, even witness to their family because they're going to get ridiculed. I don't care. They need to know if you don't get your act right, you're going to hell. You know, they look at me, everybody in my mother's house, and can't nobody pray. You know, all of them philosophizing about who God is and what the church ain't. And they ain't going to church and can't know God. Because if they did, they'd do better. Old lady laying in the bed wanting somebody to pray for her. You hear that? And nobody there throughout the week tell me and my wife go over there. That might not be much, but that's my missionary feel. Amen? We're going to convict the devil. We got to convict the devil. Our presence convicts the devil. You know, they come at you crazy, stand up with Christ. Shammah said one time when they was in the lentil fields, he said, enough's enough. You're not going to run me out of here. And he stood there and fought. We don't fight with guns and knives. Well, we don't. Some of them folks fight with guns and knives. We don't. The devil is a lie. I believe that we're about to do something great this year. I really do. You know, I might not be here to see it, because that's the way God operates. You know, but I believe this church is going to be great. I wouldn't be here if I didn't think it was. You'd have sent me someplace else. That makes sense. And it's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's because of the Christ that's in you. A new vision this morning. How do we prepare ourselves to get a new vision? I surrender all. Lord, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender all. Use me as you would. Stand with me, let's pray this morning. I don't know about you, but I want God to do something great for me.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.